What's the difference between one's gift and one's purpose? One's gift and one's purpose.
Oh, that is a good question, David. So I think your purpose, I'll say this. I think that your purpose is what you are here to do. I think your gifts are the unique set of talents, life experiences, tools, and resources that allow you to do that.
I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Then I met my boy, David E. Simons. Yeah. I searched all over the world, struggling to find it. Then I met my boy, David E. Simons. Yeah. Discover my gift, yeah, yeah. Discover my gift, yeah, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of How I Discovered My Gift with your host, truly, David D. Simons. I'm excited and delighted to have today's guest on the show. Y'all are in for a treat, I already know. Today we have Dr. Nicole Callier, and I want to let you know she is known as the Queen of Healthcare Staffing. She is a PhD as an entrepreneur. Sorry, I want to say that right. An enterpriser, upriser, and business strategist. When it comes to helping nurses and other highly motivated professionals launch their own staffing firms, no one does it better. Armed with deep industry knowledge as a former nurse and nearly 20 years of frontline experience in business, Nicole focuses on revolutionizing the staffing industry by working with seasoned professionals and beginners who desire to enter the healthcare staffing industry using a system that has been tried, tested, and proven. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Oh, thank you, David. I'm glad to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I know we've talked, but I want the listeners to hear a little bit about this. I would love to hear the journey, and I'm talking about from childhood. Starting, give me the childhood of Nicole and into who you are today.
Oh, wow. So we're going to go way back, way back. So as a child, I would definitely say there were signs of like who I am today. And so just, I'll give a brief kind of synopsis, but I was always interested in business and not necessarily business, just like making money. And so what that meant was my brother and my sister were more interested in playing and doing things. And I was trying to figure out like how to turn a quarter into more quarters or dollars, like how am I going to get more money? And so that pretty much was my focus. I wasn't like a scholar. I was not an A or B student in school. I was less interested in the core curriculums and just always more focused on like exploring life and opportunities. So my parents would say that I was a good child, and I asked a lot of questions and challenged the norms.
Wow, wow, that's awesome. So, I mean, what were some of these hustles that you had as a child? I'm curious to know what did you do to flip quarters and do all this stuff? What did you do?
Well, I think just when I talk about childhood and having that desire, which I believe was innately wired inside of me, it was just always imagining. So some of those things were not necessarily tangible businesses that were started, but it was being left alone with my imagination and building empires in my head, right? So this looked like everyone else is supposed doing their homework at home, and I am in my room, not looking at my homework, not studying for the test. I'm imagining what it would be like not to build like a lemonade stand, but to build a lemonade stand empire, right? That was not streetwide or local to our neighborhood, but more like, what if I could do this throughout the whole state? What if I can do this in another state? And so those dreams were pretty expansive.
Wow. I've never, ever heard of anybody having that kind of vision as a child. Like, that's crazy. How old were you?
Oh, gosh. I would have to say about 8 or 9. And honestly, the irony is my parents are very hardworking individuals. Neither one of them were entrepreneurs, great professionals. And so it's not something that I necessarily saw directly in my home, but my grandfather was an entrepreneur. And so each summer we would go and spend with him. The highlight of that time was when it was our time to go home. And the reason why is because he had this big, almost barrel-like of quarters. And so when it was time to leave from granddaddy's house, he would let all the grandkids, and there was a bunch of us, he would let you dig in and get as many quarters as you could in your hand, right? And so that was my first exposure to entrepreneurship. So we would drop those little quarters in a Ziploc bag. And when we were on our way home to where we live with my parents, my sister and my brother and myself, my time would be spent counting those coins, right? But the more that we did this, it was so intriguing because one thing that I realized about my grandfather in observation was that he seemed to have control of his time. He seemed to always be able to do what he wanted. He loved like being around people and helping people, but at the same time, it always felt like he had money. I mean, all of his grandkids were able to dig in this jar and get in this barrel and get these quarters. And so I think that in hindsight, right, I don't think I was actively thinking about this as a child, but as I look at it in hindsight, I realized that that was my first exposure to someone controlling their time, their income, and their freedom as well.
Wow, what an example. And wow, what an experience as well. Mm-hmm. So, Nicole, when you look at it and you evaluate yourself, what is your most dominant gift?
Oh, that's a good question, David. So I honestly think that my most dominant gift is my ability to dream. I am a visionary at heart. And if I can see it and get a picture of it, I can build it. Or I can bring in the resources, talent, and tools to build it. And so I think sometimes for entrepreneurs, I think that ability just to dream and envision is downplayed. And we go for the logistical, the operational, the focus on how it's going to get done, without letting ourselves have that childlike imagination. So I would say the thing that has been favorable and contributed to my success is being able to hold on to that 8-year-old girl the way that she dreamed, and to still pull that forward as an entrepreneur and allow myself the ability to dream and imagine and create from scratch without a blueprint.
Wow. That is so beautiful. You're right. As entrepreneurs, we don't hold on to that dream. We kind of let the ebbs and flows of challenges and obstacles get in the way of that when we encounter them. So, wow, that is definitely, and like you said, it was already happening at 8 and 9. So now I'm curious about this phase of 20 years of nursing. How were you leveraging that in that capacity as you were focus on that career?
So what I would like to say that one day, like those childlike dreams, I like took those dreams and ran with them and I built a business, but that's not what happened. Like most people, like life happened. And so I decided to go to nursing school, and I did that primarily because I thought that would bring stability. I knew I would always have a job. I knew people that were in healthcare, and I genuinely did like helping people and thought, okay, this is an avenue, a career that I could enjoy that is also stable and promising. And so when I began nursing, I really enjoyed it. But because I was a mom at that time and I was the primary parent for my child at that time, I knew that I didn't want to do shift work. I couldn't, right? And so I wanted to be with my son. I wanted to be able to pick him up from school and all of those things. And so I began climbing the nursing corporate ladder, which means I went from bedside nursing and I began getting positions that were more in nursing administration, and just moving up. And so I had got a promotion and I really thought that I had arrived. So I got a promotion. And one of the things that I loved about the promotion is it was the answer, right, to that challenge of the shift work, the bedside care. And this particular opportunity promised me a lot of flexibility. And so I was offered the position and I accepted. And they're like, Nicole, we're going to give you tons of flexibility. And what I heard was, I'm going to have my weekends back, right? I'll be able to pick up my child after school and be with him and not have to worry about holidays, weekends, and all of this. And so there was a day when I went to talk to that same supervisor about how to take advantage of the flexibility that I had been promised with this promotion. So I had got a raise, I got a promotion, and the promise of more flexibility. And when I did, I literally thought like we had a good conversation. I had gone back to my desk and sat, and about 45 minutes later, like, my supervisor is coming into my office. And when she walked in, I could tell that her body language, her demeanor had completely changed. And so I'm thinking like, oh no, this doesn't look good. And she walks into the office and proceeded to terminate my employment. And so I am literally being escorted out of the building. And this is the healthcare organization that promoted me, gave me a raise, handpicked me for this position. And in a matter of, in less than an hour, we went from flexibility, me tapping, wanting to tap into the flexibility, to being escorted out of that building in front of all of my colleagues who had watched me and celebrated me get promoted and climb this ladder. And so when I walked out of the building that day, David, I was terribly upset. As you could imagine, I was crying and I was trying to just make it to my car, right? Because I was like, I am not going to cry on this parking lot. Well, I ended up getting to my car and I was so angry. And I was mad at her because I couldn't believe, like, she had made a decision. My supervisor had made this decision and ultimately it was going to impact my life now. And so I drove across the street. At the time, there was a supermarket parking lot there, and I'm just in my car. I'm ugly crying. I mean, crying. And I'm thinking like, what happened? How did this happen? Why is this happening? How am I going to take care of my child? I'm thinking all of these things. And in the midst of those tears, I remember hearing that still small voice saying to start the business. And I'm like, this cannot be happening right now. Like, start what business first of all, right? I just got fired. I didn't have like a huge access to cash laying around at the time. And so I just kept crying. But the voice did not go away. It got stronger and stronger. And in that anger, my anger shifted from being angry with my supervisor to being angry with myself. And I was angry because I couldn't believe that I had put myself in a position where someone had controlled my time, income, and freedom for so long, and I had allowed them to do it. And that I had given up on those dreams of an 8-year-old girl who wanted to be an entrepreneur. And so I kept hearing the voice. It got louder and louder. And so finally, I decided I'm going to start the business, not even knowing what business that was. I just knew that I wasn't going to put myself in that position again. And so I started doing a little bit of research and decided that I was going to start a business helping other nurses find jobs, which almost sounds insane. Like, it has to be a God thing, because I'm thinking like, girl, you couldn't even keep your own job. So how are you going to start a business helping other nurses find jobs? Right. But isn't that how it works though? So I started doing the research and decided to start an employment agency that specialized in healthcare and finding jobs for nurses and uniting them with healthcare organizations. And so I started reaching out like to facilities I had worked at before, healthcare facilities I had worked at previously. I started calling colleagues, anybody I knew who was in healthcare, and I started telling them that this was what I was going to do. And about 3 to 6 months later, I found myself at the helm of a fully operational business. I had made in 6 months what I would have made working the entire year as a nurse. And that facility and supervisor who fired me ended up calling me about 90 days into my journey as an entrepreneur and said, "Nicole, I heard that you started an employment agency for nurses. We would love to utilize your services here."
No.
And so for a number of years, they were our largest client. I love sharing this story, David, because when I was going through that, like my whole life was crashing down. And it felt like I did the things, all the boxes checked. I got more education. I climbed the ladder. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And it felt like it wasn't working. But there's this quote by Marilyn Monroe that I think summarizes the journey so perfectly, not only for myself, but for so many entrepreneurs. It is, sometimes good things fall apart so better things can fall together.
Ooh, and, I love that.
I know. Isn't that good? Isn't that so true?
It is the truth, 100%. Wow.
So in hindsight, I look back and realize all those things needed to happen for Nicole to be the Nicole of 2024. She absolutely had to go through that 2004, right? What felt like everything falling apart.
That is so remarkable. I mean, you know, it is a movie, you know, because I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, yes, that entrepreneurial dream at 8, 9 was there. But if you kept getting promoted like you were getting promoted, it probably would have delayed it way more, you getting into that entrepreneurial path, right? It's like God needed to just like give you a hard right, you know, and go to this path, because it sounds like you were on a path of like, I don't know, maybe a CEO of the organization, which is still excellent, but it wasn't necessarily your goal.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that something needed to happen in my life to shift the trajectory, because I may have very well, even though those aspirations were always there and they were buried, and every now and then they would come up to the surface and I would think about it, I think that something major had to happen to shift me into, you know, to move from I might do this to, oh, I have to do this.
Yeah, yeah. That's beautiful. That's so beautiful. Now, we had talked and had a conversation before, right? Because what you did in 6 months is not normal, right? For most businesses. Most businesses don't see profitability or success in it pretty much in most cases for an entire year, some multiple years. So, and I believe, yes, you have the gift, right? You said of the dreaming side. But you also have this gift, as we've talked about, integration and how to systemize and put all these things together. Could you speak to the other side of your brain and how you think? Because that is very rare. When we had this conversation, I was like, that is not usual. You don't see a visionary with this high level IQ on the integration system side.
Absolutely. I think that what has worked well for me is, in the beginning, I didn't know what I didn't know. And so there's a saying, ignorance is bliss. So while my strongest gift is being a visionary, when I started that business, I didn't know that, like, oh, wait, you're a strong visionary. I just knew that I had a company. I had to dive in, figure out how to make this thing work. And so not only did I have the natural ability of being a visionary and being able to envision and imagine, I also had to learn over time how to create systems and processes and operate. And really that came from my inability at the time to even be able to afford to bring in staff So when I say ignorance is bliss, I think that sometimes as entrepreneurs, we limit ourselves and we take these tests and these assessments that tell us where our strong suits are, and we accept that as this is my lane without also allowing ourselves to develop further the things that you aren't strong in. And so over time, I've made a conscious effort to develop and understand. And so I've taken classes about leadership, management, operations, so that I'm not always only leaning on the visionary side of things, but then I also can envision the steps and the actual practical things that need to happen to get things done.
Love it. Wow. Wow. So you made it happen. You just essentially plugged in, put the boots on, work boots on, and said, let's get it done. So talk to us about that first year, and then what happens the consequent years of building this empire.
Absolutely. So the first year naturally was like a whirlwind. So I'm building the business. I'm working in the business, not on the business. And so I am the janitor. I am the receptionist. I am handling scheduling, recruiting. I'm all the things. And I did that for about a year and realized that I could not do that long term. Like, that's not sustainable. And so I started bringing in staff, and our trajectory, like, we just completely took off. And so these were our first, probably I'd say 2 years were really good, really solid. I thought. And so at the end of year, the end of our second year, a lot of our clients, we started losing our clients because their staff they had adequate staffing. And so we were losing our clients, subsequently losing our team, which means the actual staff team nurses that were out in the field doing the work, some of them were relocating. We had started right around the times of Hurricanes Rita and Katrina, and we're near the Gulf Coast at that time. And so that was important because a lot of our facilities were at their max in terms of the patients or clients that they were seeing. And so they desperately needed, because they received so many residents, patients that were leaving the New Orleans and surrounding areas to look for better places, right? Or safer places at the time while New Orleans was under repair. So in my, just being an early entrepreneur, I didn't consider that, hey, this is happening and is related to a trigger event. There's a causative agent that is helping to facilitate the growth. And so we were enjoying the benefits of that, but I was not planning for the future. And so about 2 years in, by this time I had gotten married, and my husband kept saying, and he had been around entrepreneurship, been the right hand to a very successful entrepreneur. And he kept saying that, hey, I think that something's missing here. And I don't know if this is sustainable. And I kept saying, like, what are you talking about? I'm making money. And he's like, no, you're circulating money, right? So he would drop these little nuggets on me and I would just kind of blow it off. Well, we lost everything. So long story short, one day I'm looking at no staff, my office is empty, lost our clients, we're 2 years in, we had went from making hundreds of thousands of dollars and we were basically at zero. And so I remember at that time feeling like defeated, feeling like desperate. I did not know what to do. And I remember just thinking, like, I know that I'm not going to go back to nursing, because when I left, I made myself a promise that I'm going to have my time, my income, and my freedom. So at the time, my husband owns a commercial cleaning company. It was a very high-end company, and I went to work for him. And so every day, my job is now not running a staffing company. My job is now cleaning toilets and scrubbing floors. Because number one, and I could have easily, I had a great reputation. I could have easily gotten another nursing job, but the commitment, the commitment, right? And I wanted to honor what I had promised myself and what I had promised not only at that time, my children and my husband, time, income, and freedom, right? And so I wanted to honor that promise. And the only thing that I saw that I could still do that is to help him inside of his business. So I'm cleaning toilets, I'm cleaning floors and all of this, scrubbing toilets, cleaning floors. And I'm thinking like, Nicole, how did you get here? How did you get here? And so I realized in those moments that I had learned, I was basically a nurse with like a business that operated more like a hustle, and that I really needed to develop myself. And I started reading. I started taking management classes. I started taking leadership classes. I started thinking about business and not being so married to who I was as a nurse and really developing myself as an entrepreneur. And so it took about 9 months, right? And so I'm working inside of this janitorial company, and every day I'm going like, how did you get here? How did you get here? And that's no judgment. If, I mean, if that's what you want to do, I didn't want to do that. And so I remember one day it just like the light bulb just went off, and I was like, okay, it's time to go again. And so we reopened, and within 36 months, we reached national prominence, which means that once again, I was fighting to be local, and I was very successful at that for a period of time. And then there's a trigger event, right? And because I stepped up and was willing to do the work and was willing to reach out, get help, get support, and get out of my own way, we were able to rebuild the company so much so that we reached national prominence. And so we've celebrated an amazing tenure in this industry. And my goal was always to, I'm going to build a staffing company, and one day I'm just going to retire. And I was happy to do that. And around 2018, I started getting, people were reaching out to me asking me, can you teach me how to do what you did? And I guess still naive, I thought, well, just go do it. Like, isn't that what people do? Like, I didn't realize what an anomaly this whole experience was. I honestly thought like, this is what people do. You open a business, you get profitable, something happens, you solve for it, you keep going. But I've since learned that that is not necessarily true for everyone. And so people kept reaching out, asking me to teach. I wasn't like super excited about it, but then I had a conversation with one of my own advisors and mentors, somebody that I respect. And she said, Nicole, you undoubtedly have a gift. And she's looking at my numbers and saying, this is incredible. And she said, I really think you should share this with others. And she said, at minimal, go ahead and start writing out your processes. And so I did that. She's like, you never know. Maybe one day you'll want to share this. And so I did that. And the more and more that people began to ask me to teach, I became open to it. And one day I pulled out all those processes that she told me to write, and I taught the first class. That was in 2018, and it just took a life of its own. And we've been educating and consulting new, emerging, and established staffing firm owners since that time.
That's so amazing. So what would you say is the time spent percentage-wise in handling the staffing agency, your company, and then the education business?
Oh, so right now, honestly, all of the companies are fully delegated. So my time is spent working on the business and not inside of the business. And so, yeah, it's well balanced in terms of how I show up and the way that I'm involved with the business. And so thankfully, we have an amazing team that is more into the operational side of things. And so I get to play in the vision and also help other entrepreneurs develop their visions as well.
Amazing, amazing. I don't want listeners to gloss over that. She just said it's fully delegated, meaning that like your time is minimal in the things you have to keep the business is running on its own engine, its own system. Both businesses are running on its own. And that's remarkable. I mean, to go from, right, I'm just recapping here, to go from nursing career, leave, you know, getting fired as you're climbing up the ladder, you know, crying out to God and asking God why, I'm sure, and then God showing you that this is the bit, I want you to get into business, go into business, you obey God, you're doing great, a couple of years in, now you're like, you know, because of the economics and things that are happening in New Orleans, all that, the business now, you know, doesn't work on the level that it should have, and you go back to zero. You come back, you work, you humble yourself. It's like a Joseph story. Humble yourself again, work for your husband in the commercial cleaning space, leave the commercial space after 9 months, come back, build this empire up, 36 months, become nationally prominent, and today you're doing the same. It's like you had to go through all of that to serve all the people who, so they don't have to go through what you had to go through. So it's like God took you out of, like, just like Joseph's experience, from the pit to the palace, right? And you did a little bit of suffering, but for the good of a lot of other people, that they're not gonna have to starve. Like Joseph got the food for the people in Israel, you did the same. I kind of see the parallels. You're a modern day Joseph.
Well, I don't know if I'm a modern day Joseph, but I can tell you, David, that I remember standing in a mirror in my office crying and just knowing the commitment, the sacrifice, the resources, the time, the energy, everything that we had put into the organization. And I remember this is in that valley period, right? And I was crying and I literally said, like, God, does it have to be this hard? And so I'm standing there waiting for an answer. And I heard the soft yes. Yeah. And I'm like, well, that can't be God. Right. So I'm waiting for another answer and I'm crying even more. And I'm like, OK, well, I don't think that's God, because it was a consistent yes. It wouldn't be until 10 years later that I understood why it was a yes. And it's exactly to your point, what you just said. All of the scenarios that the staffing firm founders, companies that we work with, they've been real life scenarios for me. And so there's a level of conviction I have about what I do that I couldn't have if I hadn't went through all those valleys. There's a level of expertise and business dexterity that I could only acquire by like going through it myself. And so just a few months ago, ironically, my husband and I were talking about that moment when I said, I asked this question and God said yes. And I thought I heard God incorrectly. But now sitting and being at the helm and leading so many organizations to their own prominence, I realized, yeah, that was a God answer. Like, yes, it had to be that hard. And I was perceiving it as hard because I wasn't understanding what was in front of me and the people that would come behind me who would have the same problems, issues, challenges, obstacles, success, reward. It's business, right?
Wow. I know listeners are being blessed by now. Like, this is so inspiring, Nicole. So take me back, right? I want to kind of dig under one of the things you said earlier, because I love people that honor their commitments to them, especially to themselves, right? You easily could have gotten a job in the nurse, going back to the nursing, you know, you said, no, I'm going to stick it through. I imagine, and then you talked about, you kind of mentioned it, you poured into reading, you got into reading. Can you talk to us, because a lot of things that entrepreneurs don't see is the work behind the scenes on themselves that goes into to make you the kind of person that can bounce back and have these amazing wins and have this amazing success. Nobody knows that side. So could you talk to us about what kind of development did you go through as far as your reading, as far as your mentorship, as far as anything that you did to develop yourself to this level?
Absolutely. So one of the things, and this was personal, this is personal to my own journey, but it may resonate with other entrepreneurs as well. So being a nurse, there was a certain skill set that made me successful as a nurse, but was detrimental in some areas of business. For example, as a nurse, the thing that I could often tap into and did was empathy, right? Being able to put myself in my patients, residents, clients' shoes, being able to be there with them, go through these things. And so there was a huge emotional aspect or connection in that career. For business, I was in the beginning, I was translating a lot of my nursing skill and that whole emotional side of things into business. And over time, I've learned like business is not emotional unless you make it emotional, right? And so a lot of the decisions that I was making were based on emotion. The reason that I share that is because I learned that businesses run very strategic, very methodical. And the importance of having processes over feelings, because processes work whether our feelings are off or on. So that was a big hurdle for me because I had to be able to detach myself, my identity, my own personhood from what was happening in business. That is how I gained the energy or the momentum, if you will, to then explore, okay, what else do I need to develop that is outside of my particular niche, but would help me as an overall business owner or entrepreneur? So that was management. That was how to delegate effectively, how to lead an organization, right? So even though like some of these things may seem like minutia, but they were really important to our success. And some of these things, for instance, delegating. Before, it was just, I had a team and okay, this is what I need done. And then a week later, I may get that back and it's not done to my standard. And so early on, I always felt like, well, it's the team. What's wrong with the team? And then later I realized how much time that was adding because I was not effectively delegating and I didn't understand the importance of saying, this is what I want done. This is my definition of done. This is what it done looks like for me. This is the resources that I think you'll need to get it done. And is there anything else you need from me to get this done by this day? Right? That may seem like a very small detail, but this started cutting timelines down by weeks. And so we weren't redoing work over and over. We were doing work, doing it well the first time. And so our time could be better spent with our clients, our team, or in other aspects of the business. So something as simple as learning how to effectively delegate, learning how to manage, learning how to lead. And the interesting thing, and I share this with a lot of individuals and they're surprised, I did not go and start getting I started learning more about business than I did staffing. And so that's one of the reasons I think that our programs have been extremely successful is because interwoven into the staffing education is the business education. Wow. And so I started learning about how to run a business, and I've owned businesses in many industries outside of staffing and so businesses are not that hard to run, right? Once you understand like there's a system, right? A foundation and then people and then processes. That's it. It's a foundation, people and processes. That's it.
Wow. Yeah. What do you say, Nicole? This is powerful, but what do you say, Nicole, to that entrepreneur who's in that building mode of building this business and they're thinking there's no way I will be able to get out of this business and to get to the level where you are to have it fully delegated and the systems. And I feel like where they feel like this business revolves so much around me. I don't know how I'll ever get free completely and have a business that runs on its own and live that e-myth lifestyle that Michael Gerber talks about in that book. Like, it's not a reality for most entrepreneurs in their mind.
And I think that's where it starts, in their mind. I've always had a desire to have a businesses that were independent of my time, and that I would build to sell, even if that wasn't my intention. Which means if I'm going to build a business to sell it, then I have to build a business that operates outside of me. And so I think it starts in the mindset. There are some entrepreneurs who that's not their desire. But if that is an entrepreneur's desire, they have to take ownership of that. And I do believe that the other thing sometimes as entrepreneurs that we don't do well is realize we don't have to know everything. And so when I begin the journey of I want to work on my business and not inside of my business, I leaned on the support of experts who could help me do that, because I really didn't know how to do it myself. And so I was sharing this dream or this goal, like, this is how I need to work, like bringing definition to what it needed to look like for me to feel successful as in all areas, not just in entrepreneurship, and then finding someone who could help me to do that. And so I was having a conversation with a business acquaintance, and she told me, like, hey, you need to reach out to this specific person, which I did. And she inadvertently became one of my first advisors or mentors, or the voices that I trusted in my business. And so I was very transparent with her about what I wanted to do, how I wanted it to look, and was transparent with her as well. Like, listen, I don't even understand how this arm of the business works. And so I can't, like, I can't explain it to you. I don't know. So the reason I'm sharing that is because in that transparency, sometimes that lies the answers. I gave myself permission to not have to know everything and trust experts who have track records, who have proven histories, and can say, okay, Nicole, this is how you do that.
Wow. That's cool.
And David, if I could just say this.
Yeah.
I think it's important for anyone who wants a sustainable business, because to build that way. Because today it might feel very attractive at whatever age, right? 20, 30, 40, even 50. Like, hey, I can do this. But the reality is we won't be able to do it forever. And then sometimes life happens. There was a season where I needed to focus on family, and I took 2 years off from my business, and I made more money in that 2 years than I had in the previous 2 years. And I was not present, but the business was able to operate without me, largely.
That is amazing. That's,
yeah,
that is the dream right there. So Nicole, tell us about, because I think you're an amazing marketer too, right?
Thank
so
you.
You're definitely have done that well. And I think that is something that is also important for growing a business. What are the marketing strategies for business owners listening that you either you principles that you use in marketing or things that you found to be successful for you in your own business, or to help those that are like kind of thinking, hey, I've got my gift. I got it down. I'm developing what I'm gifted to do. I put it into a business. Now I don't know about this marketing part. How do I get that to the next level?
For me, and I hope this does not sound cliche, but it's real. For me, marketing is about being authentic. So I think that there is a lot of focus sometimes, and don't get me wrong, right? I know everyone who's operational is like, we want a strategy, right? And I get that. But I also think that there is not enough emphasis put on the power of authenticity. So this entire arm of my business literally was built out by me talking to people, just sharing and talking. And so it wasn't an intentional marketing strategy, but it wasn't happenstance either, right? So I do think that being authentic in your marketing is important. I think your messaging is important. And I think consistency overall is important. And so I think it's kind of a layered question, but that is what came to my mind first. Everything that I do is authentic. And my team would be able to tell you, that sometimes when I'm presented with things that do not align with who I am or what I want to do, and hey, this is winning, this is the strategy, I can't do it. It doesn't even perform well when I try to implement it, because it's outside of something that's authentic to me. That's authentic to me.
Respect. I totally agree with that, and I can relate to that. It has to resonate. Could you tell us about, I know you have, on the educational side, you have a challenge where you help people that, hey, maybe they're already in this space and they're curious to take it to the next level for their staffing firms and health care. But also maybe people that maybe don't even have an idea of this, but they know they want a business that can be sustainable that you talked about. Could you tell us a little bit about the Ready to Launch Challenge?
Absolutely. So we put together a 5-day learning event. Honestly, the response to this has been so, like, we're really humbled and really blessed. Over the years, the response and interest in the staffing industry has grown tremendously. And so we kept getting bombarded with individuals saying, teach us how to do this. And so what we decided to do was come up with a signature event. It's our 5-day Ready to Launch Challenge that actually walks someone through the process of getting those foundational pieces I talked about earlier for launching a healthcare staffing firm successfully. And so we talk about the industry, how it works, like just strategies to prepare to launch their healthcare staffing firm. And the event has become something that is highly anticipated and highly sought after. And every time we open the doors, our seats are at capacity. We reach capacity because people are now looking for ways and opportunities in industries, especially that you may not hear about as often, right? So they're more of, they're not as predominant as some of the things that we typically hear about. And it's giving them an opportunity, not just to make an income and have freedom, but also to make a huge impact, which is of great importance.
I love that. That's awesome. We'll be sure to plug that in, the Ready to Launch ReadyToLaunchChallenge.com. We'll plug that in the show notes. Any other aspects that people should know about or plug in with you? If they want to learn more or work with you on either on the business side or the education side?
I think that the Ready to Launch Challenge is absolutely a great place to start, but they can always reach out to myself or my team on our website contact page for other information. Our platform is expanding this year, and we are moving into teaching more business development and how to build a business to sell, even if you don't want to, so that entrepreneurs can achieve what that dream for them, right? More time, more income, and more freedom on the next level.
Sign me up. I'm ready for that. So Nicole, we asked one final question that we always ask to listeners. You weren't prepared or prepped on this at all. The question is, what's the difference between one's gift and one's purpose? One's gift and one's purpose.
Oh, that is a good question, David. So I think your purpose, I'll say this. I think that your purpose is what you are here to do. I think your gifts are the unique set of talents, life experiences, tools, and resources that allow you to do that.
Well said. That was really good. I appreciate that. And Nicole, is there anything that you still feel that's on your heart that you didn't share with our listeners? Do you feel like, hey, I feel like I've placed everything out there for them? But if you do have anything, feel free to share.
Yeah, well, the one thing that I always like to share is, you know, I know there's a whole guru movement going on right now. I don't know what that's about, or the God movement. I like to share with people that, you know, sometimes it feels unachievable. And I've been on the other side of that, especially when I was starting off early in my journey. So I always just like to remind people that myself and you as well, We're not different. We're not better. We're not necessarily smarter. We're further down the road. That's all, right? We're just a little further down the road. And so I like to remind people of that, because so often I see entrepreneurs disqualifying themselves or not moving forward because it seems impossible. And it's just, we're all on a journey. We're just at different phases of that journey.
Respect. Well said. Nicole, such an honor. Thank you so much for all the wisdom and insight you poured into the listeners today. I know they'll be blessed and they'll listen to this episode multiple times.
Absolutely. It has been a pleasure, David. Thank you for having me.
I searched all over the world, struggling to find it.
Dear listener, I would like to thank you so much for listening to How I Discovered My Gift with yours truly, David D. Simons. As a token of my appreciation, I would love to give to you my most important piece of work to date, and it's called the Purpose Gift Tape. It's a motivational mixtape geared towards helping you to identify your gifts, which ultimately lead to you discovering your purpose. This is a 6-track album I poured my heart and soul into. It includes beautiful beats and amazing spoken word over it, and I'd love to give that to you as a free gift, as a token of my appreciation for being a part of the community. So to get your copy, all you need to do is go to podcast.daviddsimons.com. That's podcast.davidSimons.com, and get yours today. Thank you for being a listener. I'll catch you on the next episode. How I Discovered My Gift with David D. Simons is proud to be of the amazing and illustrious Alive Podcast Network.